The first Bible reading today comes from Psalm 42. That can be found on page 556 of the Bibles in the pew. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you for your word to us. Please help us to listen to you and to change our hearts. Amen. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you so downcast, my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go on about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you so downcast, my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you so downcast, my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. The next reading comes from John, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the next reading is from John 6, 35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Thank you for reading God's word. And thank you for reading God's word. It's so encouraging to hear God's word. Honestly, by reading God's word, I'm so encouraged. I don't think I need to preach anymore because it's so clear and so wonderful. Thank you for reading God's word again. I'm glad to be here this morning to bring God's word to you. And even our brother who spoke to the children about Job, also so encouraged. I was thinking to myself, well, God's word has spoken. I better go home now. Thank you again. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. I'm so blessed. Now, as I look around, I know one person very well. That's Andy. Andy Chung, we knew each other in 1997. Can you imagine? Andy Chung for a long, long time when he was still single. 'Nice to see Andy, and yeah, and to see all of you here. And thank you again for the privilege to be able to bring God's word to you. And I've not been here for, I think, the last 3 years. Yeah, I was here once. And yeah, I remember an evening service, and right. And yeah, thank you again, and wonderful to speak the word of God to you. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us. Father God, thank you for today that we can bring your word of encouragement, your word of rebuke. And Lord, we pray that you speak to us, that our hearts be still, and do you know that you are the Almighty God. For all this we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. I was preparing this sermon, Psalm 42, 43. I find it so encouraging. And the reason I choose this Psalms because for the last few years, some of us are going through tough times, difficult times. I myself went through tough times. But I find this sound so encouraging, and I hope that the Word of God will encourage you this morning. Now, today we are going to look at a very important issue, and that is spiritual depression. Now, friends, some of us are going through it and find it hard to talk about our spiritual struggles. And we think that we are all alone, and we even think that our loving God has deserted us, our loving God has left us, and we think that God is so far away that he's turning his head away and not listening to us. And it's a condition the old mystics rightly labored, the dark night of the soul. Friends, we are not alone. There are godly men and women who go through spiritual depression. It is no secret that the well-known preacher, Dr. C.H. Spurgeon, suffered black periods of depression. His church members were once amazed to hear him begin a sermon with these words in his introduction. I have to speak today to myself, and while I shall be endeavoring to encourage those who are distressed and downhearted, and I shall be preaching, I trust to myself, for I need something which shall cheer my heart. Why, I cannot tell. Wherefore, I do not know, but I have a thorn in the flesh. A message of Satan to baffle me. My soul is cast down within me. I feel as if I have rather died than live. All that God had done by me seems to be forgotten, and my spirit flags and my courage breaks down. I need your prayers. I don't know whether your leaders, your pastors ever ask you to pray for him when they are depressed. So friends, when we look at Psalms 42, 43, we realize that the psalmist too was going through spiritual depression. And these two psalms were properly written by the sons of Korah. They likely describe David's experience when David had gone into exile during the rebellion of his son Absalom. Now, if you can recall that part of the life of David from Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 15 to chapter 18. Now, Absalom had developed a conspiracy to take the kingdom away from his father. Absalom would be at the gate of the city every day and speak good to the people. Eventually, he won over the hearts of the people. At a certain time, he proclaimed himself to be king. David flee from Jerusalem and to avoid a war within the city. Here we see David grieve over his son's rebellion, over those whom he had counted as friends had turned against him. He is so grieved that he could not worship God. So the question is, how did he manage to overcome it? So let's open God's word and find out what is his secret. Why am I so depressed? Now, in these two psalms, it seems that the psalmist was isolated from the temple worship. Therefore, he felt that he was cut off from God, and therefore he desired to be with God. Small wonder when I can go and meet with God. Now, friends, the compare is yearning for God, for longing for a deer panting for water. Now, you and I know that the animal needs water and to keep it alive. Remember, it was in the desert, right? In the desert, so dry. Likewise, we all know that without water, we cannot survive. And here the psalmist knows what is missing in his life to be close to God. He understands that the dissatisfaction of life is the thirst for God. The psalmist only drinks and food has been his own tears. And can you see how depressed he was, how downcast David was? And here the psalmist expected God to comfort him in this time of need. He knows God has met his need in the past and expects God to meet him again. But for some reason, that help is delayed. And it's hard for him to beg. And friend, I'm sure you have found it hard for you to bear. You waited and waited for God to hear your prayers, and there is no answer from him. How do you feel? I believe you will feel terrible, discouraged, and disappointed. And you feel so depressed. And your tears have been your food day and night. Because you're so depressed that you can't eat. Remember Elijah? He was so depressed. He went to sleep. Now, some people believe that when you are going through trials, it just comes in waves. We think that we are going to drown. And this is how the psalmist felt in this psalm. Come with me, let's look at verse 7. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. His distress is figurative, portrayed by waves and breakers. Trouble had come over him like one wave after another. But personify as if they were calling to each other to come down in the waterfalls. Instead of enjoying the living water of the living God, the psalmist has to face the tsunami of life. I believe you heard this song, you sang this song, "It is well with my soul." Spafford was born in October 20, 1828, New York. Now, he was a successful lawyer in Chicago who maintained a keen interest in Christian activities, deeply spiritual and devoted to the Word of God. In 1870, however, things started to go wrong. The Stafford's only son was killed by crimson fever at the age of 4. A year later, it was fire rather than fever that struck. He had invested heavily in real estate on the shores of Lake Michigan. In 1871, every one of these holdings was wiped out by the Great Chicago Fire, which you know about. That is real, a Chicago fire. 2 years after the fire, he planned a trip to Europe for him and his family. He wanted a rest for his wife and 4 daughters, and also to assist D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, in one of his evangelistic campaigns in Great Britain. The day in November they were due to depart, he had a last-minute business transaction and to stay behind in Chicago. Nevertheless, he still sent his wife and 4 daughters to travel as scheduled on the French steamer, expecting to follow in the following days. On November 22, 1871, the French steamer had collided with an English vessel. It sank in only 12 minutes, claiming the lives of 226 people. Now, after the survivors were finally landed, somewhere at Cardiff, Wales, his wife cabled him with 2 words: "Saved alone. Saved alone." Shortly after that, he left by ship on his way where his beloved 4 daughters had drowned. And pen at hand wrote this most moving text, so significantly descriptive of his own personal grief: "When sorrows like sea billow roll," and the hymn "It is well with my soul" was born. It would be very difficult for any one of us to predict how we would react under circumstances similar to those experienced by the Stafford's. But friends, we do know that the God who sustained them would also be with us. No matter what circumstances overtake us, may we be able to save with him. "When peace like a river attended my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my Lord, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ had regarded my helpless state and had shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul." Friend, it was hard enough to be far away from the temple of God. And now those non-believers who were like thorn in his flesh were coming to the psalmist and mocking him. "Where is your God?" In Psalm 43, verse 1, we read that the psalmist prayed for vindication and deliverance. But he was disappointed and despair because the God whom the non-believers mock seemed indifferent and far away. No wonder he was preaching down. No wonder he was depressed. He thought that God was so far away. Now, friends, have you ever felt like this? That God has left you? This is the greatest test of faith. When the God to whom you cry apparently does nothing. But now the psalmist realizes the way out. Now come with me, let's look at 43, chapter 43, 3 to 4, and what do you see here? He now asks God's light and God's truth to be his guide, and that they will bring him back to Zion. Is it the light of God speaks of the fullness of salvation in the presence of God? The truth of God is an expression of his covenantal faithfulness. God is always faithful. The psalmist trusts that God's steadfast love and faithfulness, the characteristics of God, will indeed hear his prayer and bring him to God's dwelling place. In this passage, the psalmist recognizes that going to God is not merely human ability, human strength. God must aid from the beginning. One comes to God with the help of God. Is it the atheists and others mock a Christian by asking, where is your God? When thousands of Australians left homeless after flood, where is your God when so many suffer and die of COVID-19? If he is a just and good God, why didn't he stop the flood? Why didn't he stop COVID-19? And for those who are Christians and have lost their properties in the flood and lost their loved ones from COVID-19, it was hard to receive such words from these non-believers. When ungodly people are unkind to us and mock at our faith, friends, do not be disheartened. Do not be discouraged. It's because they are not mocking you. They are mocking at our Lord Jesus Christ. My late mother-in-law accepted Christ when she was in her 60s. And she suffered from bone cancer. And her sisters, who are non-believers, mock at her. And they say to her, why believe in Jesus? See, now you're a Christian. What happened to you now? You have cancer. Renounce your faith. Go back to your Taoism. Go back to your Buddhism. But I thank God that my late mother-in-law held on to her faith. She believed in Jesus. She did not give up. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it will love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Now I hope you understand why the non-believers mock at us, who are Christ's disciples, who are Christ's followers. The solution to our depression. See, when the psalmist was mocked by the unbelievers, did he give up and walk away from God? No. The word of God tells us that he remembered. He remembered the happiest time when he led the passed his pilgrims to the house of God. When he was down with depression, what did he do? See, friends, when we are down with depression, what do we do? Some of us go shopping. Some of us sleep the whole day. Or take drugs or get drunk. Some of us Well, I'm not going to church anymore. Friends, these cures are ineffective. It's only temporary. Here the psalmist tells us that how we can win over depression. He remembered how God has helped him in the past. He remembered. And friend, that is one of the greatest things to do when you begin to experience spiritual depression. Think back to what God has done for you in the past. Remember. See, some people have habits of remembering only the bad things. They recall they did not do well in the HSC or uni. They recall how the boyfriend or girlfriend left them. They recall how they were mistreated by their boss. They recall how bad their parents treated them in the past. But here the psalmist is showing us that memory can be an important help. Remembering the positive experiences of God's blessing. He says, I will remember how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving. Can you see that? When you are depressed, don't isolate yourself. Come to church to have fellowship with one another. You know it's important to come to church. It's because when you come to church, you hear God's word. When people sing songs or hymns, you are encouraged through the lyrics. When you come to church, you know what happens? We share with each other. We share the joy of the Lord. We share our experiences, how God helped us through our difficult times, our trials. That's why he says that, I remember that I go to the temple of God. Corporate prayer, friends, is so important. Now, 3 years, I told you I was here 3 years ago. Last year, I was diagnosed with cancer. March, so I went for operation, took out 40% of my lower lobe. My oncologist said that I need to go for chemo. So I went for chemo, 4 sessions. It was not easy. It's hard. So what happened? Lying down. You know what did I do? I remember God's word. Romans 8, 35, 39. I will never leave you nor forsake you. 2 Corinthians 12, 8 to 9, lying down. And the word of God is pouring and encouraging me. He said that, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Do you know, through the word of God, I was so encouraged. In short, I'm trying to tell all of us here, it's important to know God's word. See, when you're depressed, when you're down, God will speak to you through his word. So it's so important to read God's word, important to open the word of God, because the word of God encourages you. Seriously, I went through chemo, so encouraged by God's word. God encouraged me through his word, through his spirit. Say, do not give up, Eddie. Trust me, I will see you through. Which he did. That's why I'm here today. Remember to put your hope in God. Now, friends, have you attended Anthony Robbins' seminar and those speakers? You realize that they encourage you to talk to yourself. You are able to kick your bad habits. You are able to be a successful person if you believe that you can. And here the psalmist is not asking the readers and us to look at the mirror and tell ourselves that, Eddie, you'll be okay. Don't worry. Sing the song. Be happy. Remember, everything will be okay when you wake up the next morning. In Psalm 42, 5, 11, and 43, 5, we notice that the psalmist talked to himself. He analyzes his feelings and asks questions. Are you downcast, O my soul? The psalmist admitted that he was depressed and he did not murmur and blame God for the cause of it. Instead, he threw his frustration to God. Friends, nothing wrong to come to God and say, God, why am I cast out? It's nothing wrong. Because we are talking to God. When you and I are downcast or downhearted because of relationship, business, family, issues, work, grief, sorrow, and whatever circumstances you are facing, you need to look within yourself and tell yourself not to give up, but to put your hope in God. See, when I'm spiritually down myself, I talk to myself. Now, it does not mean that I'm going mad, going crazy. Many times, I remind myself that people are praying for me. The church, brothers and sisters in Christ, are praying for me. And God loves me. So do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. Put your hope in God. Remember how God has guided you in the past, and you can be sure that He will continue to see you through. See, when I ponder upon His word and meditate upon it, I find that it is helpful and it does help me to turn to God and trust that He will heal my wound, strengthen me, and spiritually refresh me. The late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his book, Spiritual Depression, said, let me quote, "We must talk to ourselves instead of allowing ourselves to talk to us." Do you realize what that means? Most of our unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. The main art in the matter of spiritual living is to know how to handle yourself. You have to address yourself, preach to yourself, question yourself. You must say to your soul, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God," instead of murmuring in this depressed, unhappy way. And then you must go on to remind yourself of God. We all know that there are some mornings when we spring out of bed, bright eye, with joy, spirit, say, "Good morning, God." There are other mornings when we wake up and feel moody and say, "Good God, it's morning." There are the mornings that are in view here. The answer to each blue mood is, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God," unquote. And this is what the Word of God is saying to you and I in these Psalms. When you try everything to take you out of your spiritual depression and nothing seems to help, then there is nothing left but to rest upon God's Word, its truth, and to allow that to heal your troubled heart. In Psalm 42, verse 8, the psalmist used Jehovah instead of Elohim. And this was a turning point in this difficult experience. Jehovah is a God of the covenant, the faithful God who cares for His people. He's the God who showers His people with loving kindness, gives them promises that they can claim when they pray and hears them when they praise and worship God. He's a faithful God. He will never leave us. No forsake us. The hand of God was with him in the daytime, and the song of the Lord in the long hours of the night. In short, God is with us 24 hours. He neither sleeps nor slumber. He is with us. So friends, everything might be changing, but you can be sure that Jehovah is our rock. stable, strong, and unchanging. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you know of those who are going through spiritual depression in our midst, be sensitive to their needs by being there for them and pray for them. That's the reason why we come to church. Is there a cure for spiritual depression? Yes. But it's not in us. It's in God. The cure is to seek God so that you and I will not be downcast. Now listen to the encouraging word of the late John Stott. He said, the cure of depression is neither to look in at our grief nor at our problems, but away and look up to the living God. He is our help and our God. If we trust him now, we shall soon have cause to praise him again, uncle. Dear friends, if today you are going through tough times, do not be dismayed. Do not be discouraged. The word of God tells us, encourage us to put our hope in God and be confident that he will guide you and help you through your trials and pains. If you have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, and you are going through tough times, come to Jesus and put your hope and trust in him. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And the psalmist tells us, encourage us, put your hope in God. And let me close with these comforting words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me. It's an invitation. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So my friends, come to him. Put your hope and trust in Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your wonderful word, your encouraging word. Lord, maybe some of us are going through tough times right now. And I pray that your word will indeed encourage them to come to you and to put their hope and trust in you. And Father, for those who have not come to you, Lord, to accept you as a Lord and Savior, we pray that through today's word, they will come to you and put their burdens, their trouble, unto your hand. Because only you, Lord, can help us to overcome all our troubles. For this we ask and give thanks. In Christ's name. Amen.